Good evening, everyone out there. And it's good to see a crowd
on this holiday weekend.
And I hope you've had a good weekend and had a chance to be thankful for the things that are in your life. And I hope you had a nice Thanksgiving as well. I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful for this congregation. And I want to point out, I'm thankful for Scott, who inspired me to totally change my lesson tonight when he knew I was preaching, and he encouraged me with this saying, "Nick, less is more." So with that, take out your songbooks and turn to 29. It's been a really good weekend and a time of reflection for some of us when we think about things that we have been thankful for. I don't know if you have a tradition at your house, if you're at Thanksgiving dinner, and sometimes some people go around and say, you know, what are you thankful for? Well, I'm hoping you do that by yourself to some extent, because we have a lot to be thankful for. You know, some people will say, I'm thankful for God, or I'm thankful for this country. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for church, and all these are wonderful things. Some people are thankful for the possessions they have and that they're able to do good with them. And that's great. I want to point out something that I'm very, very thankful for. And that's the Word of God. Because through the Word of God, we have truth. And that's our start, our beginning in having a personal relationship with God and knowing about Jesus and knowing what God has done for us and giving us so much history, leading us to this point in time where we find ourselves contemplating what we're thankful for. And tonight I want to go through a few things that hopefully will challenge you a bit and hopefully enable you to contemplate the truth and what are you going to do with it. And that's the title of my lesson tonight. You have the truth. Now what are you doing with it? You know, as Kwaku preached this morning about that pearl of great price, and we see that the kingdom of heaven is this pearl of great price. So much so that when someone found it, they sold all that they had to get it. And we see several other examples of this, talking about something of such value. That's the kingdom of heaven. How do we know about this pearl of great price? It's in this book right here. This is how we know. It's not only how we know, but it's how we can share, how we can teach, how we can enable others to know. I hope you know a little bit about the history of the Bible, and we've taught it here many times, but, you know, many men have died to get us to this place and time where I can have this at my fingertips. One of the men that did is William Tyndale, and I don't know if you know his story or not, but he's considered to be the father of the English Bible. He produced the first translation into English from the Greek. You know how he ended up? He ended up being convicted as a heretic. He ended up being strangled and burned at the stake by those that didn't want us to have this right here. And as we go through the scope of history, it helps me understand how fortunate we are. We start with tablets of stone. papyrus, vellum, parchment, leather, metal. Now we have this in text form. All of those sort of decreasing in value because of their availability. And I think that what we have now, the most popular book ever, it's available to us in almost every language, in a book, audio form, in electronically. Put it on your phone. Put it on your computer. Listen to it in your car. It's so available, and that's all for free. It's so available. I think it's caused a problem in our society. Because when you have something that's so universal and so available, you think, wow, this is wonderful. I can share this easily. But when you have something that's not exclusive anymore, it gets devalued in people's perception. It reminded me of a scripture. In Solomon's day, Solomon was the richest king and the wisest king there was. And if you read in Chronicles about his life, you read all the other people in the surrounding lands were sending him tons of gold and silver. He had so much of it that it says his cups were made of pure gold because silver was almost worthless. There was so much valuable things that even silver became almost worthless. And now that we have the word so readily available, it's become somewhat of a commodity. Now, I don't know if you want to equate it to supply and demand, but it's very easy to get. And I think some people dismiss it because of that. Think about our evangelists that we support in Mexico. Converting people. People are being baptized and becoming Christians. And you know what? They don't have a Bible. They can't afford a Bible. Think about how they value that Bible when it finally gets to them. Is it going to be like the Bible on your coffee table that's collecting dust or on your shelf that never gets open? No. They have the one Bible. Now they have one. They have the words of life that they can learn from and share. I think they're going to value that more than someone who's got 100 Bibles. But it's still the Word of God. It's still the truth. Just because it's that easy for us to have it and give it away. Are we doing that? Are we prizing it? As Christians, we are called. How are we called? 2 Thessalonians. We're called through the gospel. How do we learn about that? Does it come through our televisions? Does God speak to us directly? And we hear a message. Do we dream dreams to get this? No. We can go right here. So this is how we are called. Do we heed that call? Do we share with others that call that called us? If you're a Christian today, somebody taught you that. Somebody reached out to you. Somebody cared about you enough to share the truth with you. You learned it and you embraced it. And you came to know God loves you. We can do all kinds of things to understand and to learn and to show our devotion in a way. And I think sometimes with this being our worship and our learning, we might leave it at this. But we have the truth. It's got to be more than this. Let me share with you what goes on a typical day in the life of, say, a Muslim. Typically, they'll wake up pre-dawn and they'll thank Allah for giving them life before they even roll out of bed. Then they get themselves prepared and they do their salah, which is a prayer. Typically, they'll be on their knees, bowing toward Mecca, and have their salah, first of the day. And then the advice to them is, in the quiet hours of the morning, it's a good opportunity to recite the Quran, because you can focus on it. And then they might get something to eat, thank Allah, and go back and pray. Five times a day, they bow toward Mecca and pray to God. They fast consistently. They do many other religious things. You have the truth. What are you doing with it? Let me share with you another example of devotion. I've got some friends that I'm studying the Bible with now. And they give me an idea of what they go through. I'm going to pick on the teens here because I know the teens a little bit. I taught the class for the last couple weeks. And you know, our class typically means they come in 9:30. And their books are all there. They don't leave the classroom. We come in. We give them time to fill out the workbook in class. And then we go through it. Well, how about this? How about as a teenager, you wake up early enough to get to church at 5:45 a.m. and you study for 45 minutes. Then you go back home, eat, and get ready for school. That'd be tough for a teen, wouldn't it, to do that? This is not on Sunday. This is 5 days a week. Freshmen through senior year. And you need to have 80% attendance to pass this seminary. And guess what you get to do once you graduate your senior year? You get busy writing your mission paper so that you can be accepted to go to possibly some intensive language training. And then you're shipped out to a place that you have no control over to go to a mission field for 2 years of your life. You don't get paid for it. For what? Only to teach your doctrine and evangelize. That's a little bit more than most people do. But we have the truth. What are we doing with it? You know, there are some Catholics that go to church every day of the week. Confess every day. Take communion every day. A lot of religious devotion out there. But you have the truth. What are you doing with it? Second Timothy. I want to go through some of our responsibilities. That we have the truth. You need to know the truth. Paul's instruction to Timothy. As a good soldier of Christ, you must endure your share of suffering, as we've been approved by God, to be entrusted with the gospel. So we speak. We need to speak. We need to learn. We need to know it. You need to equip yourselves. We need to be bold. God's Spirit doesn't make us cowards. We need to be bold with what we're talking about. God's encouraging Timothy, a young evangelist, to study, to show himself approved, to be equipped so that he can handle things. And don't be ashamed of the gospel. I want you to look back at your week and think about it. Now, it's been a good week. A lot to be thankful for. Maybe some time off work. Maybe some extra time with family. Maybe a little travel. But I'm wondering, how many times did you get on your knees to pray? How many times did you study the Bible? Invite someone to church? Read a religious book? Have a religious conversation? Show another Christian hospitality? Pray for our missionaries we support? Pray for those among us that can't be with us because of health? Pray for forgiveness for yourself? How do you show your devotion to God? You know, God challenges us through His Word with all the things that I've mentioned here and so much more. We're called by the gospel. We're called to worship, and it's good to see everyone here. We're called to know the truth, and that takes work. Not just sitting in here a couple times a week, but to do more than that. We're called to use our talents, whatever God has given you. If you've been given something, God expects something. We're called to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to equip ourselves, to be a soldier, to be bold. These are things right from the Word that we need to take to heart. Again, let me ask you, you have the truth. What are you doing with it? And when I say that, I mean it right back to myself as much as anything. Because I contemplate these things, and I contemplate how fortunate we are to have the Bible, to be able to study it, to know the story, God's letter to us, to know that Christ came and died for our sins. To know that we live in a time and a place where we can be in a nice building, in a nice atmosphere, free to talk about things, free to go out these doors and share things. That time may not last forever, but we have it right now. Let's not take it for granted. Because it's so easy to know this stuff, let's not take it for granted. Let's devote ourselves to what the Word says we need to do. So the challenge is for those that are that have become Christians. And I want to encourage those who have not. And I don't see anyone in here, really, that I know, that I don't know, that's visiting tonight. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, taking this arduous path to God, this challenging path to God, it's a wonderful path because it leads to God. And we have the truth, and we want to teach you what the Bible says. Not what our opinion is, but what the Bible says. And we want to share with you that truth because it leads to God. And it's priceless. So please take out your songbooks. And I invite you, if you have a need, come on down to the front, and we want to help you with that as we stand and sing.